welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this very special bonus episode, we are coming at you with more of our They Said What stories. We've also reached out to our listeners who have provided us some amazing They Said What's from their life. Let's get started. Hey, Laura, how are ya?
Hi, Shauna. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so we have so many They Said What's from our life that we decided we wanted to put out a bonus episode.
That's right.
More of these goodies. So do you have something extra for us?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, so this happened to me recently. I was at the park chatting with another mom where our kids sort of were playing adjacent to each other. And she seemed really, really sweet and a little like naive, like a little, she seemed a little younger and sort of, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you know how some people just sort of seem like they're floating on a cloud a little bit, you know, like everything is cool and wonderful and amazing. She seemed like that, which is a great, I think, a great personality trait, like always viewing the bright side.
Yeah.
And so we were chatting and I'm very noticeably pregnant. So she was asking me about it. And, you know, she's standing right in front of her daughter. Like, we're right next to them. They can hear what we're saying.
And her, how old is the daughter?
She was the same age. She was like almost two. So she was just about the same age. But, you know, old enough to understand what we're talking about, right? I feel like they pick up a lot at this age, right? Maybe I'm wrong. No?
I don't know. It depends on what you're about to say, I think.
Okay, well, I feel like here, okay, let me just tell you what she said, and then you'd see why I was a little bit like, ah. So she's standing right next to her daughter, and she was asking me, you know, all the pregnancy questions, when are you due, all that stuff, and she's like, oh, do you know the sex, or are you going to find out? And I was like, yeah, it's another boy, and she goes, oh my gosh, that is the best, two boys are the best, and she's standing right in front of her daughter.
What?
And I was just like, okay, like, yeah, sure. You know, like, you know, I try not to buy too much into the gender binary and stuff, but I was sort of like, I wanted to be like, girls are good too. Like, this is why I feel like when I say they pick up on a lot of things, like they may not be responding to us, but I feel like my guy, he'll like repeat stuff back from days prior. And I'm like, oh, you, okay, you heard that. Like, you definitely heard that. So it made me a little uncomfortable that she was like gushing. I mean, it could have just been her trying to be nice and polite, but
yeah, that's kind of what I think. She, like, it's a happy, positive response. So that's wonderful. And also, I'm wondering if it was predicated by thinking her husband maybe has a brother or someone in her life, you like, has two boys and she just thinks that's really sweet and that just came out as opposed to her thinking, having one daughter really sucks.
Yeah, I know. That's what I hope too. I hope too. I think, you know, I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt. But
yeah, of course.
It was definitely one of those situations where I was like, actually, okay, they're all good. Everything's good. It's fine, you know? But she was so like over the top enthusiastic about it. That's what why it stuck out in my mind. Because, you know, people have said to me casually, like, oh, how fun, brothers, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, two boys are the best. Like, whoa, okay.
That's some enthusiasm coming in hot for brothers.
Yep. Yes, indeed. So
wow, that's funny.
Yeah, I hope it's just that it came out wrong and she was just trying to be nice and enthusiastic.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, thinking about how you're having two boys, and oftentimes you hear when people are having a second girl, people are always like, oh, you're going to try for that boy, or, you know, it's always a thing. So has anyone asked you, oh, you're going to try for that girl?
Oh, yeah. My mother-in-law, like all the time.
Oh, yes, of course.
Remember the Halloween bonus episode where she submitted a question asking us
if she was ever going
to have a granddaughter? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, people definitely have thrown that out. My mom has mentioned it to moms, I guess. They want the girls. My sort of stock slash annoying answer is like, well, this one might be a girl in the end, you know, like, he's going to be assigned male at birth and we're going to just follow his or her or their lead on it, you know, like just because they're born with XY chromosomes and, you know, a penis and scrotum and typically male genitalia doesn't mean they're going to turn into a boy necessarily. Mm-hmm. So
how do people like that answer?
It's, you know, I kind of have to gauge my audience whether or not I give that whole speech. Sometimes I will give a truncated version. Like, I'll just be like, yeah, it's a boy for now. And then, like, people will be like, But I have to say, in our little pocket of, like, South Pasadena, basically, California in Los Angeles County, it's not a super controversional statement from what I can tell.
Yeah, true.
I get more people being like, that's right, than anyone giving me a sideways glance.
Yeah. So, that's good. I'm so glad people are becoming more aware of that and more open to that. And it's going to lead to a lot more people growing up feeling accepted no matter who they are and what they feel like. And so that's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like the other way I sort of practice what I preach in this is that when we're out, because we've been going to parks more and stuff because they're open again. And a lot of people have been mistaking my guy for a little girl, which is fine. I mean, it's a little confusing to me just because, you know, he's wearing fairly stereotypical boy stuff. Like, his clothes have a lot of fire trucks and excavators and tractors on them.
And it's not like he has long hair or anything.
No, yeah, cut his hair, you know. But I don't know. People just go for it for whatever reason. And I never correct people. So that's sort of my little way of being gender neutral. Is if, like, I'll hear lots of parents be like, oh, that little girl's like playing with her ball. Isn't that cute? And I'll just be like, yeah. You know, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's a boy.
No, it's too awkward. Like, the other person feels weird. The times I have corrected people, it's just they feel so bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. And to me, I'm like, it's not a big deal. So, especially like if you're not going to see people again, it's really not a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. So, but apparently two boys are the best. So I won the jackpot.
And I'm screwed.
You're totally screwed. The inverse is that two girls are the worst, apparently.
Not true. My girls are amazing.
Definitely not true. They are. Mm-hmm. They are the envy of all. So yeah, that's my they said what story.
Okay. All right. Well, people have their opinions about boys and girls, I guess. Should we move on to a listener story?
Yes. I'm so excited to play these voice memos for all of our listeners. We've got some great ones coming up. So here, our very first one is from Brenna. Here goes.
Hi, Sean and Laura. This is Brenna here. I just wanted to share my story of they said what. My story is something that happened to me near the end of my pregnancy. I was headed home from work one day, and I either normally listen to y'all's podcast or call my mom or my husband because I had an hour drive. This evening, I was talking to my mother, and our conversation was starting to come to a close, and then all of a sudden, she said, oh, I've been meaning to give you the titty talk. Me and my mom are close, but we've never been the mother and daughter to, like, talk about things like that. So I just shut up and I got really quiet and I was like, oh, good Lord, what is she about to say to me? So then she started talking about how I needed to start prepping my nipples for breastfeeding. She told me that I needed to scrub them with a loofah, pinch them, get my husband to suck on them, just anything I could do to like callus them up or like roughen them up. I've never heard of this before, or none of my like friends who have been pregnant said anything like this. I don't know. I never did anything to prep my nipples for breastfeeding. And I breastfed my daughter for 8 months and I never had any issues. So it seems really odd to me, but that's my story. And I don't know if there's any other women out there that have heard this or have ended up doing anything to prep their nipples for breastfeeding, but I'll leave it there. I really enjoy y'all's podcast. So thank you so much for everything that y'all do. Bye.
Oh, Brenna.
Oh, I only laugh laugh because, you know, Laura, I have been there. I have received that same advice.
From your father-in-law.
My father-in-law. Oh, my God. When I was pregnant with Al and visiting them for Thanksgiving, I talked about this in episode 15, I think.
Gosh, 15, way back.
Yeah. And I was just alone with him in the room for a few minutes, and he just turned to me. He's like an ex-nurse and stuff. So he's very, you know, he's very kind, good-hearted person. This wasn't anything weird, but just like, what are you doing to prep your nipples for breastfeeding? And I'm just like, I'm sorry, what? So, I know how you feel. I know how you feel.
Well, and you guys are not the only ones, apparently. Samantha on Instagram told us that she was told to rub sandpaper on her nipples to prepare for breastfeeding as well.
Sandpaper.
She said, thanks, Nana. That was from her Nana.
Oh, sandpaper sounds so painful. I can't even think about it.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Terrible.
Should we read a few more responses we got?
Yes. Okay, this one is from Claire. She said, I had my son 2 months prematurely, and he was super sick, and we barely got to touch him for the first few weeks. My friend got pregnant around the time he was born and came to visit us after he got home from the hospital. We were talking about all our tips and stories, and she said the thing she was most nervous to deal with after the birth was the umbilical stump. I said we didn't really have to deal with that, as my son was really ill when his stump fell off, and we hadn't had a chance to change a diaper by then or anything. One day, we just walked into the NICU, and it was gone. Her response, oh, you're so lucky. Bitch, please, ain't nothing lucky about anything that happened to us. I'm sure it was a brain fart, and I love her, but I am still incensed when I think about it.
Ugh, talk about insensitive comments.
I know. So did you hear anything I just said? Oh, Claire, I'm sorry. I would be mad about that, too.
I would also be mad about that. Clearly, there's nothing lucky about what you guys went through. I'm so glad the NICU is in your past. But yeah, your friend deserves a bit of side eye for that one. For sure.
Yes, I agree. All right, what's the next one, Laura?
Oh, here's one from Katie on Facebook. She said, someone told her, you look like the blueberry girl from Willy Wonka. And that someone who told her that was a guy in HR.
Oh, come on, HR dude.
Such good human resources right there. By the way, that we looked it up. It's Violet. I can't pronounce it. How do you say it?
I always said Violet Beauregard.
Beauregard. There you go. Yeah. It's just that
Kate included a gif of Violet Beauregard in her comment to us. So I just very much appreciated that. I thought that was hilarious.
It was a good laugh. Good laugh.
Yes.
So let's just do one more and then we'll take a break. What do you got for us?
Okay. This is a good one. This is from Alka from Instagram. She said, newborn babies have breast milk in their own breasts. I didn't know until I had my son. I'm from India originally. My mom and my Indian friend's mom both said I ought to squeeze my poor newborn's chest / breasts to get the breast milk out. Otherwise, his chest wouldn't be flat.
Huh? Wait, now I'm confused. Wait, so she was told that newborn babies have breast milk in their own breasts, but that's not true, right? I mean, mine didn't.
Well, you know,
Was it mine didn't, as far as I know?
Neither did not mine, but I didn't go around squeezing their nipples. But I did look it up, and galactorrhea, is that how you say it? Anyway, neonatal milk happens in about 5% of babies of both sexes. And I guess that's where the term witch's milk comes from in ancient folklore.
Oh my gosh. This has turned into a Today I Learned special bonus episode.
It's so fascinating. The fluid in this folklore, the fluid leaking from a newborn's nipple was a source of nourishment for witches' family spirits. So there you go. But okay, so Alka was told this and then told that she had to squeeze it out of her son's nipples so that he wouldn't have engorged breasts. Oh, Alka, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like good or accurate advice.
No. Yeah. I don't think that's anything we need to be doing.
No. Okay. Speaking of which, I have one more before we go to break because it's just too good. Shannon on Instagram told us that she was told not to drink seltzer water if she's nursing because it will make her breast milk fizzy.
Stop it. What? I'm dying to know who she got this piece of advice from.
I mean, that would be amazing.
I feel like that's something Elle would say.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely something that came from a young child.
Maybe. We don't know, Shannon. You've got to follow up and let us know, because that is just too funny.
But I have to say, I think both you and I, Shauna, have tested this extensively, and it's not true.
Oh,
people can
oh, yes.
rest assured.
Mm-hmm. I live on fizzy water, so y'all good.
All right. Do you want to take a quick break, and then we will come back? I want to hear your They Said What story, and then we've got even more voice memos and fun stuff from our listeners.
Yes, let's do it. Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back and we have some more They Said What stories for you. Before I dive into my story, can you share another reader story with us?
Yes. So we got this from Robin on Instagram. She said, when I had hyperemesis gravidarum from week 4 to 39, my mom, from week 4 to 39, Robin,
oh,
I am
poor
so
thing.
Sorry.
Oh, Robin, I'm so sorry.
For people who don't know, hyperemesis is, it means you're throwing up like constantly throughout your pregnancy and more than the average person. It's like, it's this really serious medical condition. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she says, when she had hyperemesis, my mom told me that I wouldn't vomit so much if I wasn't sitting around feeling sorry for myself.
Oh, okay. That's what causes it.
If only that was, oh my God.
If only we knew. Oh, come on, mom.
That's totally unhelpful, mom. I want to call her mom and give her a little like lecture on what hyperemesis is because that is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Robin, send us her number. We're going to give your mom a call.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So let's move on from that. Shauna, you actually have a interesting story from before you were pregnant with Cece that you want to share,
yes.
Right?
Yes, I do. And before I get started, I do want to say that this story does deal with the mention of miscarriage. So if that's something that you are sensitive to or it's triggering to you in any way, skip through my story and come back for all the other goodies after this one. So as you know, Laura, I had to go through a lot of fertility stuff because mm-hmm. we had problems getting pregnant. And the second time around, when I was prepping for IVF, one thing I had to do, part of the infertility process, is go in for a hysteroscopy. Is that how you say that?
Hysteroscopy. So, well, it sounds like I'm going to do my etymology here. I'm guessing like you get a hysterectomy, which is you're not getting one, but a hysterectomy is when you take out the uterus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing a hysteroscopy or scopy or however you pronounce it, scopy, is when you look into your uterus. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And ovaries and stuff.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So the doctor inserts almost like a little balloon and fills up your uterus with saline so that they can get that scope in there and look around. They check your fallopian tubes and make sure that both of them are open because sometimes that can lead to fertility problems. And they look around your uterus and see if there's any problems or complications with what's going on in there. So my doctor, my reproductive endocrinologist, who I really loved, sent me to do this procedure before anything else. And there's a different doctor at the practice that specializes in this. So I had to make an appointment to go see him. I don't remember his name. We'll call him Dr. Z. I don't know why.
Dr. Z.
Dr. Z. And so he does the procedure, and it was okay. Sometimes it could be really painful because, you know, putting anything into your cervix is just a complete nightmare.
Yes. I mean, the first time I got my IUD pre-baby, I was just like, oh, God. Terrible pain. So this
terrible
sounds way
pain.
Worse.
The first time I got this done when I was prepping for getting pregnant with Elle, it was so bad that I almost threw up. I mean, it was horrible pain. This time, Dr. Z is, I can tell already, he's just super experienced, super, I don't want to say cavalier, but just like he's been there, done this a million times.
Confident, but
also a little bit, it's no big deal kind of attitude, you know? It's like
blasé.
Yeah. Blasé is a good word, yeah. So I'm like, is this going to hurt? He's like, oh, you had a kid already. You're probably all stretched out or something like that. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, I had a C-section, so I don't know about that. But I think he was right. It didn't hurt going in.
Good.
And, yeah, they did the scope. I could see on the screen what he was looking at, which looked like just a complete garbled mess to me. I don't know what is going on. And he's like, oh, yeah. Okay, there's a little polyp right there. And I was really surprised to learn that information. I didn't think that was going to be the outcome of this procedure because I had had a miscarriage about a month earlier and I had a DNC where they go in and remove the fetus and kind of like whatever. So
like
I
clean out, make sure there's no remaining placental or fetal tissue that could cause infection or that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, having a DNC, at least for me, was a very big deal. It was the second one I'd had, and it's emotional, etc. And so I mentioned to Dr. Z, you know, after the procedure was over, I was like, you know, I'm kind of surprised I have a polyp in there because I just had a DNC and I thought they would have, you know, I thought they might have taken care of something like that while they were in there.
Found it or at least mentioned it, right?
Yeah, found it or mentioned it. And so blasé, he's like, ugh, DNC. So basically what they do is just stick a vacuum up there and go, just suck everything out all fast.
Oh my God.
I was horrified. I was just like, you just told a woman who had a DNC not so long ago that they just crudely stick a vacuum up in your uterus and go and like suck around and with no precision is basically what he said to me. I was just like wide eyed and like,
is this in the middle of the procedure?
This was afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that makes it better. You know, I was standing next to him with my hospital gown and like no underwear.
Marginally better than like having a scope in your uterus at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was just looking right at me. It's like it's not like he was preoccupied by a screen or anything. He's just looking right at me. And he's like waving his hand around like it's a freaking vacuum. I mean, it was so harsh. And I don't think he intended to hurt my feelings or, you know, make it sound so crude. That's just such a factual thing for him, being in medicine for so long or something and just not the best bedside manner, obviously, to just put that out there like that. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'll trust you that I have a polyp.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, so I grew up around doctors because my parents were doctors and all their friends were doctors. Like literally all their friends were doctors because that's how it works. You only spend time with other doctors. So I understand that personality very well. I've been around it a lot and I understand how that's kind of how they talk to each other, but that is still a very fucked up thing to say to a patient. Like extremely. Yes, okay. And they should know better than to say that. Like he should have known better because that is, it's one thing if it's a, I don't know, like and something that doesn't have the emotional weight of, you know, you had a DNC because you had a miscarriage. It's not like you were just like going in for your regular checkup or whatever, you know, it's like so much emotional connection to what happened. And then to take something like that and be so insensitive about it really, really sucks. I'm sorry, Shauna. That's, ugh.
Thank you. So he rubbed me the wrong way, obviously. Well, yeah. I'm so glad he was not my doctor. He could have put it so much better, right? It's like, oh, they're not really that precise when they do that procedure. Boom, end of story. But what I think happened is that maybe also I insulted him by questioning his findings. You know, it's not like I was like, there's no way there's a polyp inside. Like, I wasn't rude at all. It was just like, I'm surprised because they were up in my uterus recently.
They were all up in that shit.
They were all up in there. I'm surprised. I was thinking, do they grow that fast? Like, I was just kind of confused. Obviously, I didn't know that all they do is stick a vacuum up. And he put me in my place.
Well, that's, I mean, I think a lot of doctors go into medicine because they're extremely smart and they're extremely good at science and biology and not because they know how to interact with people.
Right, right. And frankly, I don't mind a smart, intelligent, very straightforward, cut and dry doctor because I do want the best expertise. But that went a little bit too far for me.
And I would argue that someone whose specialty is RE, you know, who deals with people who are constantly going through miscarriages and infertility and not being able to, you know, have their own kids and all that stuff, like it should be required that they have some kind of like emotional intelligence to deal with their patients, because it's So much of it is psychological. I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's psychological, the, you know, infertility, the fact of infertility, but so much of like dealing with it and trying to go through it, it has such a psychological burden that it's just like mind blowing to me that a doctor could be that insensitive. So,
yes. And to your point, this office that I went to goes so far as to put a sign up near the front desk that says, if at all possible, please like leave your children with childcare outside of the waiting room, because they know that people seeing babies and young children, it can be just so sensitive to someone who's going through something so hard. So I know that the office itself really takes it seriously and cares about it.
You know, this reminds me of how my doctor, both times I've gotten pregnant, has given me a little talk about like being sensitive when announcing it to friends and family. I've talked about this on the show, but I always felt like that was such a cool thing he did, because even though like, I bet there's a lot of patients who are kind of annoyed by that talk because they're like, what? I'm excited to be pregnant. I want to tell everyone. But I found it really, really telling that he was like, he took the time to remind me that not everyone's as lucky and, you know, and that a lot of people are struggling, and not to do anything that might, you know, rub it in, basically. And I was like, so thoughtful of him. So, yeah.
Aw, he's the best. Aww.
Anyway, Dr. Z sucks.
Dr. Z sucks.
Okay, but so real quick, what happened with the polyp, though?
Good question. After that, I had to make an appointment for surgery to get the polyp removed, because you don't want anything like that in your uterus if you're about to embark on IVF, IUI. You want your uterus to be as pristine as possible, because polyps can prevent the implantation of embryos.
You want it nice and shiny and clean in there.
Yes, that was an unexpected bump in my fertility journey. Say. And so that's my story.
Wow. I'm so mad at that doctor. I'm mad at Robin's mom. I'm mad at your doctor.
I guess that's the theme of this segment, right? How many people can we be mad at?
Yes. Well, okay, let's kind of lighten things up, because we might get mad at this person, but I think it will also make our listeners laugh. So let's hear this voice memo from Callie next.
Yes.
Hey, Shauna. Hey, Laura. This is Callie in South Carolina. I just wanted to share my most memorable "they said what" story. It happened around this time last year. I was 8 months pregnant, very obviously pregnant. I was at a restaurant in the bathroom, and I was washing my hands, minding my own business, when this woman next to me at the next sink looked over at me and immediately eyed my pregnant stomach and exclaimed, "Oh my gosh, this is gonna sound so weird, but would you mind peeing on this for me?" As she proceeded to pull out a pregnancy test from her purse. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, that does sound weird, but I didn't say anything. I just stared back at her. She obviously saw the confusion on my face, because then she proceeded to try to explain the unexplainable. She said, "Oh, don't worry. I've been carrying this around with me for weeks. I've just been waiting to run across a pregnant woman, and now you're here, and it's fate." And I didn't feel like it was my destiny that day to pee on her pregnancy test, so I quickly scurried out of the bathroom after politely declining to accept her offer. I rushed to my table where my sister, who was also very pregnant, was sitting, warned her not to go in the bathroom unless she wanted to be accosted by some chick who was looking for a pregnant lady to take a test for her. And yeah, I don't regret not taking her test. I do regret not asking more questions, but hopefully listeners think this is as weird as I thought it was. But hopefully listeners don't think I'm some awful person for not giving this chick her so desired BFP that day. But I just wasn't into it. So anyways, thought I would share. Love the podcast. Y'all keep the great episodes coming.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Like, what else can you say? Oh, my God. Goodness.
I am desperate for more information about this. Like, absolutely desperate. I think Callie made the right decision.
Yes, you don't want to really engage, right? You don't want to engage with this situation, but you do want to know what is happening here.
Like, part of me would have been like, okay, like, I would consider this, but you're going to have to tell me why first. Like,
yes. Well, okay. So what are the reasons? She maybe needed a positive pregnancy test as a joke, to play a joke on someone?
That's an option. Play a prank, maybe lie to a partner, which is not a very benign thing to do. I think that's actually like reproductive coercion. It's a type of abuse, emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. So that's no good. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say she needs to pass a drug test, but that's when you just want pee in a bag, like not necessarily on a pregnancy stick.
The only drug test you're passing is the HCG test. I think you're failing it if when you pee on a stick. And then my other thought was, this is the only other thought I had, which is it could be like a weird scavenger hunt thing. Like people do that for bachelorette parties, I've heard. Mm-hmm, is like they try to get someone with a positive pregnancy test, but you know, she said she'd been carrying it around for a really long time, so.
Yeah, well, maybe that was part of her ruse, part of her story. Her really bad story that leaves us wanting. What if, also, we've talked about this before, I think, maybe she was, like, trying to sell positive pregnancy tests on Craigslist and just is trying to gather up as many as she can.
Maybe. Wow. That's possible.
Yeah.
Anyway, Callie, you've left us with a real mystery and a really good they said what. So thank you for sending that in.
So good.
Okay, so Shauna, let's read some more of our listener submissions. What do you got for me?
Okay. Yes, here is one from Pierre. Pierre said, when I was still pregnant with my third baby, our friend mentioned that she couldn't wait until next summer so that we could have drinks by the pool. I half jokingly said, yeah, if I'm not pregnant again. And she looked at me and said, if you have any more kids, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. What? Pierre said, I still don't know whether she was joking or not, but... I'm now legitimately considering having another baby as soon as possible.
Hello. Just to spite your friend.
Oh, man. Talk about unconditional friendship. Woof.
Right? I'm so curious if that friend had any kids.
Oh, definitely no, right?
I mean, I would say definitely no. But
although, Laura, if you went on and started having like 4 or 5 babies, I just don't know if I could deal.
Sure, but it would sustain the podcast for so long.
Oh, it would. All right, I give you permission to have multiple children.
Okay.
Okay, do you have another one for us?
Yeah, so Crystal on Instagram said, someone at the doctor's office asked why my 2-month-old wasn't wearing a mask.
A 2-month-old? Could you even imagine, what is it, like the size of a cotton ball? I mean, come on, people.
I mean, first of all, super dangerous, right? Like, there's a reason why there's all these safe sleep guidelines. You can't put a mask on a 2-month-old. No. And people need to learn that these, like, CDC guidelines say kids under 2 are not supposed to be wearing masks. Like, we just started with my almost 2-year-old. But, like, you know, he's verbal. He's very physically able. He can tell me if he's having trouble with it. A 2-month-old, no. No, people.
Well, that's what they, maybe that's what they thought by hearing children under 2. They're like, children under 2 months.
Oh, maybe.
Are free from masks.
I'm all about, you know, I'm glad people are asking about masks because I think it should be like normal to ask, like, can you please put on a mask on, especially when you're indoors, but like not with a tiny baby. Oh, my God.
I know, a newborn baby who's only been breathing the outside air for 40 days or whatever.
Totally. Yeah,
60. I can math.
You can math. Yes. Math. Yeah. Math good.
That's good.
Anyway, let's take a little bit of a break and let's come back and we want to wrap up with all of our listener submissions.
Let's do it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. So here's another voice memo we have. This one's from Cecilia. I'm going to play it now.
Hello, Shauna and Laura. My name is Cecilia, and I'm from South San Francisco, California. And my They Said What story happened around this time last year. So I had my daughter at 36 weeks, and she was an emergency C-section because my blood pressure wouldn't go down below 167 over 85, I think, and I had to be admitted right away. And on the same week that I had delivered her, we had our baby shower that we had planned for months, and we were really excited to, you know, see our family and friends. But since I had to deliver so early and I had a C-section, I had to be in the hospital for a few days, and unfortunately had to go back after a release because my daughter was having a low fever and it wouldn't go up above 96. Anyway, so the baby shower went on. My sister-in-law and my best friend were able to help host for us, even though we weren't there. And after a few days, we came back home. And my aunt, who attended the party, had posted pictures. And what she posted on the picture on Facebook caption was, "Oh, unfortunately, baby M couldn't make it to the baby shower. So it's going to be our other baby niece, baby L." And she was the star of the day. I, you know, being a first time mom or a new mom of that week, I was just so frustrated. I was basically pissed. Like, why would you say something like that? Like, you know why we couldn't be there. And to this day, I haven't really confronted her about it. Like, why would you say, almost like guilt tripping us, like, oh, so you couldn't come to your own party? Okay, that's fine. We have another baby to fawn over. And I just thought it was a bit insensitive. You know, she didn't come up to me and apologize for what she said. So she probably didn't think she said anything wrong. Or maybe she meant it in a joking way, but, you know, I wouldn't know. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to drop it. I don't have enough time and energy to deal with you. I have a baby to take care of. So, yeah, that's my story. Love your show, guys. I've been listening for a while now, and I really hope, you know, you continue your podcast for eons to come.
Well, that's so nice. Eons.
Eons. Oh, Cecilia, I'm so sorry. How frustrating that you and your baby couldn't be at the baby shower. But this other girl, your aunt declared her the star of the show. It's like, what?
So rude. It's like...
So rude.
To me, it's like planning a wedding and then, like, you can't make it. Your flight was canceled. And mm-hmm. So, like, your cousin is like, well, we'll just get married instead.
Take advantage of all of the catering and the dance music.
Yes. Not cool. Oh, my gosh. Not cool. I hope they had a bit of a heart-to-heart about that at some point, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely not cool. I feel like there are probably a lot of people who run into this, especially if you plan your baby shower on the later end of your pregnancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
People who miss their own baby showers.
Yeah, I'm sure that's common.
Yeah, so I'm sure people can relate. Okay, so we've got a bunch more responses from Instagram. So, Shauna, you want to read the next one?
I do. This is from Lindsay. I was like 10 weeks pregnant and not showing, maybe bloated, but the front desk receptionist at my work asked me if I was pregnant. And I was so caught off guard, I hadn't told anyone outside of my family. I stammered and said, yes, but actually not telling anyone yet. And she said verbatim, oh, honey, you can tell.
No.
No, who says that?
You are not. Okay, basic rule of thumb. Unless a woman is in active labor and says, the baby is coming, do not ask
them. That baby has to be crowning.
Yes, if they are pregnant. But to say, oh, you can tell. Ugh. Like, how exactly? Like, I feel like there's some women who might say that because they're like, think they're psychic and like can tell. But mm-hmm. It does kind of just come off as like, oh, you don't look so good.
Exactly, because first trimester is just synonymous with being tired.
Oh, my God.
Nauseous. So to be like, I can tell. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
That reminds me of the time I was shopping at Target, and I was about 10 weeks pregnant, and I was shopping in the bras and underwear section. And a worker came up to me and was like, oh, you must be looking for the maternity bras. And I was like, yeah, actually, but oh my God, how could you tell? And I obsessed over that for a while.
I just feel like that's so presumptuous. Because also, mm-hmm. like, after I had my first baby, my stomach looked like the way it looked at, like, 12 weeks, mm-hmm. sort of perpetually, you know? Like,
right.
So, I think that's terrible. I mean, they guessed right, but...
They did, oof. Luckily.
That time, I mean, how many people have they guessed wrong with? That's the real question.
I don't know. It is. Laura, do we have more stories?
Oh, yes, we do. So Kelsey on Instagram wrote, my hub's creepy uncle said, pregnancy does beautiful things to a woman's body.
Oh, that makes me cringe.
No, thank you, creepy uncle.
No, thanks.
No, thank you. And actually, this kind of ties into a similar thing we got from Kat on Instagram. My dad told me I should look into my baby's eyes and completely focus on her while breastfeeding. So that means no Candy Crush. Otherwise, there was a high chance of my girl becoming anorexic.
What? Where's the connection there?
Okay, here's what she said. She said that he said because she wouldn't feel, quote, valued by me during her meals. Mm. I had to remind him, I breastfeed 8 times per day for about 40 minutes. Big eye roll emoji there. I'm with you, Kat. And then uh-huh. She says, mansplaining about breastfeeding is the worst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to put that much pressure on a new mom, like if you don't do it right, your baby is going to have a huge problem later on in life because of you.
Yeah. Like a really serious eating disorder. Like it's not something to be flippant about, you know? I mean, he could have been like, your kid's going to get cancer if you don't whisper sweet nothings in its ear as if you breastfeed, you know?
I know.
It's so unrelated, so mansplaining. tiny. I'm so sorry, Kat. I hope you gave your dad a real talking to.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, I feel like, again, the general rule is men, let's try to keep the comments to ourselves.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
If in doubt, just don't say it. Just don't say it. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Laura, I have another they said what.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear your story.
Okay, well, this one's going to blow your mind.
Uh-huh.
Because the they said what is that they said nothing.
Whoa.
Whoa. Trippy. Okay, here's the story. So when we moved into this house, there's a lady that lives next door. She lives alone. She's a little bit older. And she looks like just the sweetest little grandma, but that lady hates the shit out of my family. I still am not 100% sure why, but she says things like, oh, you act like the king and queen of the neighborhood, and just always is kind of staring at us, and she just doesn't like us. She once said, I don't ever want to talk to you ever again. So that's okay. Where we stand with her. I'll call her Judy.
You guys are so unlikable. I mean, I really get it.
Yeah, we're really just terrible, terrible neighbors.
Oh, I would kill to have you guys as neighbors. Oh my God, that would be so fun.
I know, it would be so fun.
Oh, but I want to hear your story. We digress, yes.
So that's just a little backstory. And what I really want to say is that, you know, my daughter Elle, 4 years old, is extremely friendly. She loves people. She just says hi to everybody she passes for the most part. And she loves this Judy lady. And so every time we go out and we see her pulling out her trash or whatever, she's like, hi, Judy, and waves at her. And Judy stops, stares at Elle, and says nothing. Glares at her.
How could, I mean, I just don't understand how you could look at Elle and her sweet little face and her like completely innocent and good-natured hello and say nothing. It's almost impressive. Like, I almost am impressed by her because that takes a lot
of
willpower.
Some great willpower. Yeah. It's, wow. It just really blows my mind. And it's not like it's happened once. It happens over and over. And sometimes she'll stop and glare at her. Sometimes she'll just keep on doing her whatever and act like she hasn't even heard a thing. Not even look at us, not anything. And it's weird.
You got to be a grade A curmudgeon for something like that. A real Grinch. Yeah,
that's amazing. She is.
So wait, what does Elle do when that happens?
Oh, she doubles down on the friendliness. Judy! Hi, Judy! I like your dress!
She's
but
best.
Not because she's trying to get a rise out of her, just because she's trying to get the lady's attention and trying to get that hello that she's used to getting from people.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think Elle's finally kind of figured out that Judy's not going to say hi back. So she's not as enthusiastic anymore. But yeah, for a long time, it was just like, Judy!
Wow. Come on, Judy. Get with the program.
Get with it.
And they said what is they said nothing.
Nothing. That's a first time in BFP history. All right, let's move on. What do we have next?
Okay, we have Samantha writing in. She said, my they said what was just the other day. I am currently 33 weeks pregnant and I was at the grocery store. I picked up some formula just to have on hand and a lady walked past me, looked at the formula in my cart and told me I wouldn't need it.
What? Excuse me? Oh, how do you know, rando lady?
Okay. There's so many layers of bad on this because, like, first of all, there's all this, like, subtext of, like, breast is best and all this stuff. And, you know, our show, we're very much on the fed is best bandwagon. There's so many reasons people may not pursue breastfeeding or they try and it doesn't work. I mean, there's so many valid reasons to not end up breastfeeding your kid, including, you know, adoption, surrogacy, all that stuff, right?
Right.
But on top of that, like, there are medical reasons, and you don't, like, there's no way she can look at someone and know whether they're actually going to be able to breastfeed. That's absolutely bonkers.
It's so rude. Can you imagine if she said that to someone shopping, like, in the soup aisle, like, someone has a can of soup in their hand, and she just walks by, and she's like, you shouldn't buy that. I mean, it's just
you're not
so bizarre.
Eat that tomato soup or
oh, in any other context, it's especially wild. But in this one, it's just incredibly rude and ignorant, and I'm so sorry that she said that to you, and I hope it didn't make you insecure in any way.
Yeah, and also I should point out that I am very much Team Samantha on this, because even though listeners know that I had a, you know, pretty straightforward breastfeeding journey, or still am having a breastfeeding journey, you know, I did have formula in the house, and yes. I always tell new parents or pregnant people, like, have formula in the house just in case, because you really don't know what's going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. you don't know if you're going to have supply issues, or there's a latch issue, or you have to take medicine because of a complication that, you know, makes it so that your breast milk isn't safe for the baby.
Yes.
When I was postpartum, I ended up having that really high blood pressure scare, if you recall. Mm-hmm. And we thought I might have to go to the ER. And while we had formula, we didn't have water for the formula. And mm-hmm.
Oh, is your water shut off?
Well, no. So we all thought we needed that. So at the time, we were all a little, you know, sleep deprived and scared of like that I was going to have a stroke because of my high blood pressure.
True, true. Okay, I give you a pass.
My mom was like, you need special water. And we didn't think to Google it that you don't actually need special water. But like, so Corey had to run to the drugstore at like 11 p.m. to pick up like the special filtered formula water, which, like, by the way, apparently you don't actually need.
Is it like distilled water or something they sell in the formula section?
It's like way overpriced water, basically, that's like purified. I think it might be distilled. Whatever it is, it's like sterile, basically sterile water. So you don't actually need it. It turns out you can. We also realized later, like, he could have just bought like the pre-mixed formula, like those single use bottles. Anyway, you live and you learn. But the point is, like, you don't want to be running to the store at 11 o'clock at night when you have some kind of emergency to pick up formula. So just have some in the house. It doesn't hurt anyone. And then you can give it away. If you don't need it, you give it away on your Buy Nothing group and someone will be really happy.
That this is true. That's a hot item.
Yeah. So, okay. We have some more. Shauna, you want to take the next one?
Yes, we have a couple Instagram story responses. This one is from Kate. She says, my daughter is biracial. When I was pregnant, someone asked me what color she will be. Eye roll emoji.
I think the eye roll emoji was definitely the most used emoji in our responses that we got.
Yes. Big eye rolls to all these things people say. Well, that is extremely inappropriate.
Yes.
There's just so much to say about that. I can't believe someone would say that to you.
Yeah. In 2020, or maybe it wasn't 2020. But yeah, people should know better around this time. People should know better.
I agree. Do people know about this, Laura? This is from Laura. Not you. Another Laura. She says, someone told me if I carried my bag from the hardware store, the umbilical cord would strangle the fetus.
Okay.
What? Okay. Where does that come from? What are they talking about?
That's like an old wives' tale shit, right? Like, you're not supposed to put your arms over your head because the umbilical cord will wrap around the fetus. And
oh, right.
All this. Yeah. But
carrying heavy
true.
Things is that yes. must be something.
Yeah. Unless your doctor tells you otherwise, you're fine carrying your bag from the hardware store.
Exactly.
And
carry
the problem
on.
Is not going to be the umbilical cord.
Yeah, true. Like your back might get tweaked, but other than that. Okay. So I think we have one last one. This is a good one. I love it. Laura, why don't you read this for us?
Yeah, we wanted to end on this because this one is just pretty cute. Okay, so Mary wrote to us on Facebook. I worked at a school while pregnant with my daughter, and when I was about 35 weeks along, a little boy from another class walked up to me at the playground and said, I know why your belly is so big. I expected him to say something about me being pregnant, but instead he said emphatically, it's because you eat too much candy. I thought at first he was joking and said, no, it's because I have a baby in my belly. And he looked really seriously at me and said, you're having a baby? And then for the rest of the school year, he would walk up to me in awe and say, you're having a baby, and touch my belly.
That's so cute. I love the idea that he thinks like a belly as big as 35 weeks along. It could just be like from Skittles and Snickers. He's so cute.
It's just like you literally just that day ate 10 pounds of candy and it's expanded. Yeah. Yeah. So cute. And the innocence of little kids. If an adult said that to you, you'd be like, step back. That is rude, but it's, I don't know. It's just so cute with little kids.
Yes. The context is really cute. And the fact that he fell in love with that idea afterwards and just was excited about it and kept touching the belly. And also, that's like the only person who can touch your pregnant belly is an adorable little 5-year-old or however old this kid was.
So yeah, I was thinking 5 for some reason. It just seems like the right age for this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Well, my toddler, he, you know, my stomach is getting really big now. And the last few weeks, every time I see him first thing in the morning, he says, "Mama," and then he goes, "Baby brother." And he wants to give like baby brother a kiss. And it's just the sweetest thing. And of course, I like push really hard to get him to give hugs and stuff. I just like, yeah, you want to give him another kiss? You want to give him another hug? You want to feel him kick? I'm like, I just love you snuggling with my baby bump. And it just warms the heart. It's so sweet.
That's so cute. I love it. Well, Laura, I think that's all we have for this very special bonus episode.
Yes, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, everyone who shared your stories. They were wonderful. If you have a story of They Said What that you want to share with us, we are always accepting submissions, and I know we'll do another one of these at some point in the future, so bring them on. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us a voice memo with your They Said What or any other comments, or just send us an email, you can reach us at contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. It's a private group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community, answer the 2 membership questions, and we'll send you right through to all the really great and funny and heartwarming and just amazing conversations we're having in there.
And our favorite They Said What's, in the most positive way, are your reviews and ratings on whatever platform you listen to us. If you haven't done so yet, please head over and give us a rating and review. We appreciate it so much. And spread the word. Let your friends, family, coworkers, everybody know about the BFP podcast. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.